midnight, hands on a fractured line. Blueprints trembling out of time.
Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So today, we are diving deep into, well, what you could call cancer's ultimate survival strategy.
It's a huge topic.
It is. And you probably know the basic drill. Most powerful anti-cancer therapies, think chemotherapy, radiation, they work by just inducing massive DNA damage.
Right.
You're trying to force the cell into a crisis, a mitotic catastrophe, which hopefully leads to cell death.
It's a heavy-handed approach, for sure.
It is, but it's often the best tool we have.
And yet, clinical resistance remains the single biggest challenge we face. And the reason why is, well, it's because while we're busy hitting these cancer cells with damage, they're busy coming up with these incredibly sophisticated backup plants.
Exactly.
And that gets at a fundamental gap in our understanding of how they repair their DNA, especially when they're at their most vulnerable.
Which is during mitosis.
During mitosis, exactly, the M phase.
And mitosis is when the chromosomes are condensed, they're all aligned, ready to divide. If a cell has a massive double-strand break, a DSB, at that moment.
It's a recipe for instant fragmentation.
Utter chaos. And for certain tumor types, like those with BRCA101 or BRCA22 mutations, this is even worse. They already can't use their main repair system, homologous recombination.
So for them, this moment is absolute peril. It is the ultimate high-wire act for a cancer cell.
Right.
And to survive that moment, these really compromised tumors, they rely on not one, but several secret redundant backup pathways. Think of it like a house of cards.
Okay.
If you remove the foundation HR, the house should just collapse.
Yeah.
But what if they have two parallel independent supports just waiting in the wings? They survive the blow.
So the mission then for any researcher trying to kill these cells is to find the single master switch, the one that controls both of those parallel supports at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
If we can find that, we create what's known as a synthetic lethal vulnerability.
A way to kill the cancer cell without harming the healthy one.
We are literally looking for the Achilles heel of these BRCA mutant tumors.
And that is exactly what the scientists we are celebrating today have found.
So before we get into the mechanism, let's give them their credit.
Absolutely. Today we celebrate the work of Peter R. Martin, Wojciech Niedwiedz, and their colleagues. They're primarily based at the Institute of Cancer Research in London in the UK.
And their work is just, I mean, significantly advanced our understanding of this whole regulatory network.
It really has. This precise network that governs mitotic DSB repair.
Okay, let's set the stage a bit more. Let's define our primary target here. Homologous recombination deficient cells, HR deficient.
Right, so because their best DNA repair toolbox is broken, that's due to the BRCA101 or BRCA22 mutations, they suffer from this intense replication stress.
Which means they're just accumulating DNA breaks constantly.
Constantly. And these dangerous breaks are the ones that persist right into mitosis, which forces them to rely on those backups.
So when HR is offline, the cell flips two emergency switches. The first is called MITIS.
MITIS, which stands for mitotic DNA synthesis. And it's a bit of a misnomer, you know, because DNA synthesis really shouldn't be happening during mitosis.
Then it does.
It does. And MITIS relies on this massive protein complex, often called the SMX trinucleus complex. It includes proteins like CESLX46, MUS811, and RGC11. This is one of their major repair teams.
Okay, so that's team one. What's the second team? The backup to the backup.
That would be MMEJ. That's microhomology mediated end joining.
And that one sounds a little messy.
It is. This pathway is highly error prone. It's the cellular equivalent of just hastily taping two broken pieces of DNA back together.
Hmm.
But it works fast enough to save the cell from immediate death.
And it relies on a specific enzyme.
It does. It relies heavily on a specialized enzyme called DNA polymerase theta, or just pol theta.
So, okay. We have two independent teams, MITIS and MMEJ, providing this emergency support. If we can target CELX44s from MITIS and pol theta from MMEJ at the same time, we win.
Right, but that usually means you need two separate drugs, which is difficult.
Very difficult. And this is where the paper's core finding comes in, the upstream regulator, right?
Absolutely. The research focuses on what's called the CIP2A-TOP-BP1 axis. Now, previous studies had already hinted that disrupting this complex was synthetically lethal with BRCA12-2 deficiency.
Meaning it killed the cancer cells, but not the healthy ones.
Exactly. But nobody knew why. Was it just a physical scaffold, you know, holding broken chromosomes in place, or was it the actual regulatory switch?
And the new evidence points overwhelmingly to
the switch.
Okay, so How do you find the regulator of a system that only functions for a few frantic minutes during mitosis? I mean, that sounds like a massive detective challenge.
It was. They had to be extremely precise. The researchers used a really comprehensive, unbiased proteomics approach. It's called cell cycle specific co-immunoprecipitation, followed by mass spectrometry or co-IPMS.
So it's like throwing a highly specific net over that TOPBT1 protein, but only during that brief M-phase window to see what else it's physically grabbed onto.
You've got it. That's the perfect analogy.
And what was the immediate payoff of casting that net? What did they find?
Well, that unbiased approach confirmed strong interactions, specifically in mitosis, between TOPBP1 and major components of that crucial mitosis repair team.
The SMX complex.
The SMX complex component.
Fancy.
CLX43, 5MUS81-1-ONGERS, ERCC1-ON team. This immediately suggested TOPBP1 wasn't just some passive tether, it was a key player in actually recruiting the mitosis machinery.
Okay, so once they had their molecular suspects for mass spec, they had to prove the interaction was real and, well, functionally relevant. So what tools did they use to map that precise handshake between TOPBP1 and CLX42?
This is where the structural work became so critical. They used a combination of protein truncation mutants and something called fluorescence polarization analysis to really narrow down the exact binding regions.
But the real structural validation, the part that's really interesting, came from AlphaFold3 modeling.
Yes.
For those who might not know, AlphaFold3 is Google DeepMind's incredibly powerful AI tool for predicting the 3D structure of protein complexes. So why was using this predictive modeling so essential here?
Because it provided the visual molecular blueprint. The experimental data showed a functional binding event was happening, but AlphaFold3 allowed them to actually see how the proteins would fold and physically interact.
Specifically, COX44 and TOPBP1's BRCT domains.
Precisely. And this synthesis of hard biochemical data with that structural prediction, it lends huge confidence to the mechanism they were uncovering.
And to functionally verify it, they went right to the heart of the regulatory switch. They used genome editing to create cells with the single point mutation. The SLX44 T1260A knock-in, so why that specific threonine?
Because that specific site, threonine 1260, was predicted to be the phosphorylation switch.
The on-off switch.
The on-off switch. If you mutate the threonine, the T, to an alanine, an A, you prevent that phosphate group from ever being added. You essentially cement the switch in the off position.
Wow. So they had a cell line where the mitosis pathway could literally not be activated through this mechanism.
Exactly. Just beautiful experimental design.
It is. Okay, let's talk about the key results for the mitosis pathway then. What controls that phosphorylation switch? Who's flipping it?
It's CDK1. The interaction between TOPBP1 and the SMX complex is driven by CDK1-dependent phosphorylation of CLX4044 at that critical threonine 1260 site.
And CDK1 is the master kinase that essentially drives the cell into mitosis in the first place.
It is. So the cell is basically saying, okay, we are entering division, and if there's damage, TOPBP1, you are only allowed to accept CLX4044 if it's been tagged by the mitotic entry signal, which is CDK1.
I see. So the cell cycle clock, CDK1, directly tags the mitosis repair crew, CLX4044, which then allows it to dock with the coordinator, TOPBP1.
Exactly. And the proof was in the mutants. When they used that engineered CLX44 T1260ME mutant, the one that couldn't be phosphorylated, they saw defective recruitment of the entire SMX team to the mitotic chromatin.
And defective recruitment means the cell can't perform mitosis. So what was the consequence for the cell?
Genomic catastrophe. The cells showed significantly reduced EDU incorporation, which is the functional readout for mitosis, and just massively elevated genome instability. You could see it as high levels of micronuclei.
So disabling that one specific phosphorylation event means the cell can no longer execute its emergency mitosis repair.
That's right. It's crippled.
Now let's turn to the other major player in this axis, CIP2A. The data suggests that losing CIP2A2 acts far upstream. It causes a near complete absence of both MUS81A11 and TOPBP11 from the sites of damage.
Mm-hmm.
So if CIP2A is the ultimate coordinator, does it also control that second parallel pathway, MMEJ, with Pol Theta?
This is the crucial finding, the one that ties the whole synthetic lethality mechanism together. The study confirmed that, yes, CIP2A depletion significantly impaired the efficiency of both mitosis and Pol Theta-mediated MMEJ.
Wow. So one single upstream regulator, CIP2A, controls both emergency fire exits.
It does.
That immediately explains the synthetic lethality they saw in the earlier work, and it's quite an elegant system of control.
It is. When you take out CIP2A, you don't just compromise one repair pathway. You take out the essential regulatory oversight for two redundant pathways all at once.
And they provided the mechanistic validation for that.
They did, by comparing the results. The level of genomic instability that you see from just losing CIP2A2A alone was comparable to the combined effects of disrupting MIDAS with the CXCR44 mutant and inhibiting MNEJ with a pol theta inhibitor called ART558.
So functionally, CIP2A is the head of the entire mitotic repair operation.
That's the takeaway.
Okay, let's unpack this and connect it to the bigger picture. We now have this central regulatory hub, CIP2A2OPBP1, that integrates key signals to manage two different DNA repair systems. What does this deep organization tell us about how cells survive?
Well, it confirms that during mitosis, the cell relies on a highly specialized and very tightly temporally regulated repair strategy. It's totally distinct from interface repair.
And TOPBP1 acts as the molecular docking platform.
Yes, but it only accepts the repair machinery once it has been correctly tagged by those mitotic kinases.
So it's not just one switch, it's a beautifully choreographed system. Two signals converging on the TOPBP1 platform. Can you break down those two integrated kinase signals for us?
Certainly. So first, you have CDK1 driving the phosphorylation of CLX4 dolasidir. That allows it to bind to TOPBP1's docking site, which activates MIDAS.
Right.
Second, and this was shown in previous work, you have PLK1, another key mitotic kinase. PLK1 phosphorylates pol theta, which enables its interaction with a completely separate docking site on TOPBP1, and that activates MMEJ.
So TOPBP1 is basically a master switchboard with two distinct inputs. CDK1 controls one pathway, PLK1 controls the other, and CIP2A is the central power source, making sure the whole switchboard is active and recruited to the right place.
That's an excellent way to put it, an incredibly clear blueprint for intervention.
It is, and the clinical implications are huge.
Oh, absolutely. This provides a robust mechanistic rationale for cancer therapy. We're now talking about precision targeting of the CIP2A-TOPBP1 axis, or its downstream effectors, especially in BRCA12 deficient cancers.
These are the tumor types that are already on the edge, highly unstable.
And removing their ability to perform even this emergency repair is overwhelmingly lethal for them.
But given how central CIP2A is to cell proliferation in general, wouldn't targeting it risk massive off-target effects in healthy cells? Or is this specific function linking the two repair pathways only essential when the cell is already under extreme stress, like in cancer?
That is the fundamental question for any synthetic lethality approach. And the answer is that since healthy cells efficiently use HR for their repair, they rely far, far less on these mitotic backup systems.
So the vulnerability is really only pronounced in the cancer cells because they're already walking that genomic tightrope.
Precisely. Disrupting CIP2A might be tolerated by a healthy cell, but it pushes the already damaged cancer cell right past the tipping point.
And what's impressive is that the study clearly showed that MIDAS and MMEJ are functionally independent, non-epistatic effectors downstream of this complex.
Yes.
You truly have to knock out the ability to use both to get that maximum therapeutic chaos.
And that is exactly the functional consequence of losing CIP2A, which means drug developers now have several highly specific targets to go after. We can target CIP2A itself, or we can focus on developing inhibitors for CCLX4, 4, and 2, and pol theta to use in combination.
There's still more work to do, I imagine.
Oh, of course. Unraveling the precise dynamics and the full complement of all mitotic DNA repair mechanisms is crucial for really unlocking this therapeutic potential. If you take away one central insight from this deep dive, let it be this. Cancer cells with BRCA2 mutations survive mitotic stress by using two parallel DNA repair systems, MIDAS and MMEJ.
Okay.
The CIP2A-TOPBP1 complex acts as the essential upstream coordinator for both of those systems. It links the cell cycle's master kinase, CDK1 and PLK1, directly to the necessary repair machinery. And disrupting that single regulatory link is lethal to the tumor.
That leads to the final provocative thought then. What does this mean for drug development? If we know the exact molecular handshake that CDK1 phosphorylation of CLX-alpha-T441 is required to bind to TOPBP1, how might we design small molecules that selectively disrupt only that CLX-441 binding pocket on TOPBP1? Could we achieve the same lethality of CIP2A inhibition, but with surgical precision, ensuring only the cancer cells are pushed over the edge? That, I think, is the next great challenge.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Midnight hands on a fractured line, blueprints trembling out of time. Every split is a warning flare, but we keep the lightest from tearing there. When the usual roads go dim, we walk the edge where sparks begin. Hold the pieces close, don't let them drift. A silent tether, a careful shift. By thread, we mend what breaks when the day is dead. Two small echoes find their way, a hidden bridge where the fragments stay. Under pressure, we learn to survive. In the spin of the night, we keep it alive. Ooh. Pulse through a crowded sky. Loose ends whisper, don't ask why. A scaffold forms where the damage lands, guiding cutters with steady hands. And somewhere in the afterglow, a last resort path begins to sew. Hold the pieces close, don't let them fall. A locked in rhythm, a midnight call. If you cut one root, the chaos wins. So we balance on a narrow wire. Steel breath calm in a crown of fire. Not perfect, just enough to stand. To carry dawn in a shaking hand. Stitches in the sky.